Separating the policy from the politics, delving deeper into what is happening in our world today, and sharing the information you may not know if you didn't listen to this show. iHub Radio presents The Lovable Liberal. This is the Anita Rufus Show, civil discourse on current events and politics. Here's Anita.
And thank you so much for joining me. This is Anita Rufus, The Lovable Liberal. I am also the goddess of political correctness, and I'm going to start the show today on a point of personal privilege. I have a friend, for those of you who don't know and aren't on the list, I do send out what I call a blast every week to kind of give a preview of what I'm going to talk about. And like a movie teaser, I try to make it something that'll make you want to listen. So I've got this friend who sent me this long comment on my blast this week, and he said, "It's too frivolous. You should focus on real issues and not every kooky story on the news." So I sent him back a note, and I want to share that note with you. I said, "The blasts for my show are meant to make listeners want to hear whatever inanities are in the news. And that enables me to go deeper into subjects that do make a difference. Occasionally, wasting time with nonsense is what makes me able to keep doing this week in and week out. We need to be able to make fun of the crazies, but we also need to be able to respond to them. And my goal is always to provide you with a little more ammunition to be able to talk to some of your friends who totally disagree with you on politics or on whatever else is going on. Now, of course, I'm going to talk about the real issues we're dealing with, the economy and jobs, the virus. But what's going on, for example, around changes in voting laws, the attempt to justify invalidating an election, that's neither crazy nor frivolous. If people don't ever hear more than the headlines, much can be done below the radar. And that's of great concern to me, and it should be of concern to you as well. Even if you're, I had my teeth cleaned yesterday, and I was having a great conversation with my dental hygienist who said, "You know, I can't watch the news. It's the same thing over and over and over again. And it just is so depressing to me. It's overwhelming to me." And I said to her, "If people don't ever hear more than the headlines, a lot of stuff can be done below the radar. And as for the idea that there are different approaches of both parties, the truth is far too many on the right now, are using so-called cultural issues to continue to divide us and to appeal to our fears and our baser instincts." So I want to say the things we talk about may not be the most important issues to you, but they may be what motivates anyone to get out and vote, which is what makes the system continue to work. I'm going to talk today about the attempts to, I think, radically alter the way we vote to make it harder for people to vote rather than easier. But I would like to encourage you, if you'd like to see my blast every week and get a reminder a day ahead of the show of what's coming up, all you have to do is send me an email and ask me to add your email address to the list. Just send it to anita@lovableliberal.com. anita@lovableliberal.com. And for those of you who don't know how to spell, it's A-N-I-T-A, anita@lovableliberal.com. Nobody else but me ever sees those emails. I blind copy them to everyone. And it's a way to get an idea of what the show's going to be about and maybe even a little bit of a humorous take on some of what's going on. Now, I want to start today's show with a little bit about what's going on with the virus. The governor of Florida has said that he supports a law in the state of Florida to not allow vaccine requirements for businesses. In other words, if you have a business in Florida, governor wants to make it illegal for you to require people to either wear masks or to prove they've been vaccinated. Now get this. One of the biggest businesses that bases in Florida is cruising. And a lot of the cruise companies are saying they are going to require proof of vaccination before they let anybody on the ship. And if you'll recall, very early in the virus, there was a cruise ship docked off the coast of California for, it seems like it was months, because there had been some COVID cases and they didn't want to let them land. In fact, as I recall, not that I want to put too fine a point on it, but that's when Donald Trump was president. And as I recall, Donald Trump said he didn't want them to land because it was going to add to the number of cases. And the number of cases was making him look bad. But seriously, do you want to take a cruise that doesn't at least require that everybody getting on board has been vaccinated? Well, there are cruise lines that are now saying, fine, if Florida's going to do that, we're going to base ourselves somewhere else. Now, there are some concerns about the fact that the deadliest phase of this COVID virus may not even have hit yet worldwide. In the United States, we're doing really well. We've been able to reopen most of the things that are going on in the country. Even here in California, where the numbers are very low right now, we still have mask mandates when you're inside at a business until June 15th. The governor has said if the numbers stay where they are by June 15th, we can get rid of that. But it turns out we've all seen what's been going on in India, for one place. And it turns out that there is a deadly, more transmissible variant of the COVID virus that could absolutely take over countries that have not been able to get enough vaccines into people's arms, and that this may lead to another surge in this virus. And if it can exist somewhere else, it can exist here. And those of you who have chosen not yet to get vaccinated, you are susceptible, and there's no way that this virus respects borders. In Vietnam, that had very low numbers for a long time, they found a highly contagious new variant, and it is combining what they have found in India and in the United Kingdom. Now, Joe Biden, our president, has promised to donate 80 million doses by the end of June to countries around the world. And soon we will hope to be able to offer a lot more, because the production is now at a rate where we don't need all of the vaccine that is being produced. But the White House has not yet said how it's going to distribute this first 80 million, or which countries are going to get it. And the U.S. is currently only second to China in vaccine production. But until recently, we were the only major producer to keep the virus essentially within our own borders. So while more than half of all Americans have had at least one dose, and in fact, it is the one dose number is approaching, it's in the 60s, as I recall, and when at least 70 to 80% of all adult Americans have had both doses of the vaccine, or the single dose if they're on Johnson & Johnson, but they have been fully vaccinated. Until then, we are not yet at what they call herd immunity, which means that we are still susceptible to some of these variants taking hold even in this country. But while more than half of Americans are now fully vaccinated, fewer than 1%, let me say that again, fewer than 1% of people across the world's low-income countries have been vaccinated as of this point. That's why we need to make our vaccines as available as possible, as quickly as possible, and target them to the countries that need them the most. And let me say, China's been really good at doing this. And if you think that kind of outreach on a people-to-people basis is not good for your international political standing, you're crazy. That makes a huge difference. People can see that the United States has been very successful in disseminating the vaccines and in getting able to kind of get back to normal. But if all we're doing is hoarding that for our own people, especially when we no longer need that degree of production for our own people, and we are not looking to help the poorest countries in the world, that doesn't bode well for the way those countries are going to see us. And that's important. Now, I want to share with you, speaking of President Biden, the latest Fox poll shows that President Biden has a 64% approval rating. Now, when they ask based on various topics, that can drop. But nevertheless, an overall approval rating of him as president being at 64%, that is enormous. Especially when you recognize Donald Trump never in his 4 years as president reached 50%. Never more than half of the public, through legitimate, well-done polls, ever supported Donald Trump as president. And Joe Biden is now at 64% in a Fox poll. Meantime, in New Mexico, a Democrat, Melanie Stansberry, has been elected to fill the seat that was originally Deb Haaland, who is the Native American woman, first Native American ever to be appointed to a cabinet position, who is now the Secretary of the Interior, which just happens to be the department of our federal government that deals with indigenous peoples and their lands and what's going on for them relative to the federal government. Her seat, obviously Deb Haaland is a Democrat, and her seat is now going to be filled by Melanie Stansberry, also a Democrat, who won this special election. You know, they don't get much turnout for special elections. She won this special election by a larger margin than even the degree of margin that President Biden got in New Mexico. I think President Biden was ahead by 23 points over Donald Trump in New Mexico, and Melanie Stansberry surpassed that amount of support. And that may be a harbinger for what we can expect in the upcoming congressional elections in 2022. Stick around, I got a lot more. This is Anita Rufus, the lovable liberal.
She's lovable, she's liberal, and she's here to bring a tone of civility to political discussion you aren't likely to find anywhere else. The Anita Rufus Show with your lovable liberal on iHub Radio. Here's Anita.
So let me remind you, it does make a big difference who we put in the White House. Voting does matter. For one thing, for example, the Biden administration, in fact, the Interior Department, led by the same Deb Haaland I was just talking about from New Mexico, the Interior Department is going to suspend the oil and gas ANWR, the Alaska Arctic National Wildlife Refuge land, Trump said, yeah, sure, go ahead and drill. And the Interior Department is going to halt leases on those grounds that the Trump administration rushed to put in place right before the inauguration. After the election, but before the inauguration. Now, it's true this could spark a big legal battle because they're aiming to unwind almost a dozen leases in the heart of this pristine region in Alaska. And let's face it, the Republicans and Democrats have been fighting over ANWR for about 40 years because Republicans want to drill, drill, drill and get as much stuff as they can out of there. And here's another thing that makes a difference who's in the White House. Remember when the pandemic first started, among the places that were hit the hardest, prisons, nursing homes, and meat processing plants. Remember the meat processing plants? They were closed down for a while because there were so many people getting sick and dying. And then they said, well, okay, we're going to put in these little plexiglass dividers so that people don't have to stand right next to each other and breathe each other's breath all day long. Well, the Trump administration did not think increased risk to workers was something to be concerned about because, by God, we got to get that meat processed and out to everybody. The Biden administration is going to allow reversing that program that was meant to accelerate pork plant line speeds. That sounds like something esoteric, but if you think about it, how much do people have to produce while they're on their shift in a place like that? You do know that a lot of them wear adult diapers because they don't get time to go to the bathroom. How many of the people who were stuck into agencies before the previous president left office, and how many policies need to be dug out and fixed because Donald Trump, not unlike some previous Republican administrations, I am sorry to say, was hell-bent on making people aware that government doesn't work. Now, I'm not sure what he thought or still thinks government was supposed to be there to do. But he wanted to make sure people understood government doesn't work. We need to give people as much of their own money back and let them do their own thing, and it'll all work out in the end. Well, anybody who's been paying attention already knows that isn't what works. But there are a lot of people who believe him. No matter what he says, they believe him. Even if, for example, things like he would say something out loud that would be caught on tape. And then he would say, well, I didn't say that. Fake news took that out of context. And so the so-called fake news would put the whole quote up in context on tape. But people who supported him, and still do, would say, he didn't say that. Now, one of the things that needed to be rebuilt after the Trump administration was the legal immigration system. Illegal immigration, a whole different argument. But if you'll recall, President Trump and his cabinet members, they wanted to make sure people had to come here legally. But they put so many barriers in the way of legal immigration. And the Biden administration is trying to rebuild and expand those systems. They'll have shorter, simpler forms. Applicants won't have to jump through all kinds of security hoops after an initial investigation to make sure that they're not somebody we need to be afraid of. People will have better opportunities to join their families. They'll have more chances to secure work visas, which Employers desperately need those workers. They want to expand the legal immigration system, including reversing the efforts to dismantle it by Donald Trump. Because of his immigration policies, for legal immigration, the average time it now takes to improve, for example, an employer-sponsored green card has more than doubled, and the backlog for citizenship applications is up 80% since 2014. More than 900,000 cases are sitting there waiting to work their way through what became a much more difficult system. Biden administration is going to change that. It matters who we put in the White House. And hopefully, regardless of party, it's someone who knows what they're doing.
In a land so divided, she's a uniter, not a divider. This is the Anita Rufus Show, featuring the lovable liberal on iHub Radio. Here's Anita.
Okay, I want to talk about what's going on in this country about voting, because we do have a big election coming up in 2022. The Biden administration's going to get as much done as they can by then, and they are hoping to reverse a typical trend that the party that is in control of the White House tends to lose seats in the midterm election. In other words, the election that takes place in between presidential elections. Presidential elections are every 4 years, Senate elections every 6 years, but they stagger that, so a third of senators are up every 2 years. And all of the members of the House of Representatives have to run for re-election every 2 years. Influencing whether people vote and the way they vote has now taken on its own life as compared with arguing about policies. Now, there are a lot of people, myself included, who say that the Democrats can reverse this expectation that they will lose seats in 2022 by getting past a lot of the policies that have been put forward by the Biden administration, because by the time November 22 rolls around, people will see that we are moving in the right direction. I might add, the majority of people in polls now say, yes, they think the country's going in the right direction. And when there is real value to the way they experience their own lives, they have more of a tendency to want to vote for the party that's giving that to them. The opposition party, in this case Republicans, want to take back the House, want to take the majority in the Senate, and they don't really have policy issues they can run on other than the same old, we're going to cut your taxes. Although the Biden has absolutely committed that he will not raise taxes on the middle class and the working class. But I found some statistics that I found really interesting that I think will have a big impact on the upcoming elections. And these are things, they're not issue related. In fact, they are relatively conspiracy related. But they're out there, and they are drawing a bigger audience all the time. And it was fascinating to me that this poll was done to put some numbers on the QAnon followers, like Marjorie Taylor Greene, the crazy lady in the House, who was nevertheless elected by voters in Georgia. QAnon and people who listen to far-right media. And I'm not talking just Fox. I'm talking about far-right media, those that have gone way to the right of Fox. And it turns out there are three general kind of conspiracy theories that are out there. And this poll tried to assess what percentage of all voters believe this, and what percentage of people who are far-right media listeners believe it. So the first premise was that the government, the media, and the financial worlds are all controlled by Satan-worshipping pedophiles. You've heard this as the QAnon underlying theory. A lot of them call that the deep state. The people who've been in government or media for a long time, and they are Satan-worshipping pedophiles. About 15% of all people who were polled said they believe that. But of those who listen to far-right media, more than 40% of them believe that our government, our media, and our financial worlds are controlled by Satan-worshipping pedophiles. Now, the people who listen to far-right media comprise maybe 3% of all of the U.S. population, but that is millions of people. And they are definitely incentivized to go vote, because they think we got to get people in there to get rid of those Satan-worshipping pedophiles. A second category in this poll was people who believe there's a storm coming that will sweep away the elites and restore our rightful leaders. People who believe in this storm coming theory. 20% of all people who were surveyed said, well, yeah, you know, there may be a storm coming that'll get rid of all the elites. But almost 50% of those who listen to far-right media believe that. And that is also an underlying philosophy of the QAnon adherents. The third thing that they polled was that the United States is so far off track that true Americans may have to resort to violence to save this country. About 15% of all people who were surveyed said, yeah, I think maybe we may have to resort to violence to save the United States. And by the way, 15%, if you'll recall, is the same number who believe that we are run by Satan-worshipping pedophiles. 42% of those who listen to far-right media believe we will have to resort to violence to save America. And I hate to even think about how many millions of those people are armed and willing to engage in that kind of violence. So we have this kind of self-fulfilling prophecy going on about the fact that if we have enough doubt about what happened during the election in November, then we can use that doubt to justify digging into what happened in the election, even though every state, those that had any contested results, they did audits, they recounted. The secretaries of state, as they are authorized to do, validated the results for each state, and those went then to the Electoral College. And the insurrection on January 6th did not stop the counting of those electoral votes. But if you put it out there enough that there are a lot of people who have doubts about the electoral results, you can then use that doubt to justify, for example, what's going on in Arizona. What you end up with is kind of vague conclusions that never really stand up to evidence in the light of day. But the Republican Party thinking is that it won't really matter. You don't really have to prove it. The damage will already be done because the suspicion that something was wrong will feel real. And the states Republicans are targeting for this kind of post-election audit, which, of course, in Arizona is being done by people who have no experience at this at all and have already damaged the security of the machines, which are all going to have to be replaced. And they are taking forever to get this done. The states that are being targeted are the swingiest of swing states: Georgia, Arizona, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and they want to go after Michigan. These are all states with Republican-controlled legislatures, and they all want to do some kind of an audit like what's going on in Arizona, because they're convinced they'll find enough. Even if it's only a few, they'll find enough to show the election results were stolen. So they're setting up to have all these audits. They're undermining our confidence in our own electoral process, even though every one of the states that certified their results said this was one of the safest elections ever in our history. And now they're putting in new voter restrictions. And this isn't, for what it's worth, I heard this and I immediately it clicked with me. What they were saying is, it's not about overturning the last election. This is about overturning the next one if they don't like the results. Now in Arizona, as I said, the guy running this cyber ninja supposedly audit company that's never audited an election before, he's actually somebody who supports a lot of those conspiracy theories I was talking about. And the truth is, the county where they are doing this, which is the largest Democratic voting county in the state of Arizona, that county found no evidence of voter fraud, not widespread. You know, every time they look at voter fraud, they can find one person who voted not just on his own ballot, but he voted his dead mother's ballot. I might add that the guy they found who did that was voting for Donald Trump. They do find occasionally a case like that, but they find them. That's the point. Election systems in the states, some are better than others, but all of them have certified this was one of the safest elections in their history. Now you've got this guy who founded a group called Audit USA, which is also involved in the recount process. And he's the one who laid out this bamboo theory. Somebody said there was a truck that drove in and they were delivering ballots that had come in from some South Asian country. They didn't say China, and it turns out if you look into it, they're talking about like South Vietnam or something. He said there's accusations that 40,000 ballots were flown in and stuffed in the ballot box, and it came from the southeast part of the world. What they're doing is to find out whether there's bamboo in the paper. He said, I don't believe any of that. I'm just saying it's part of the mystery that we want to find out about, and this is a way to do it. Because, of course, if there was bamboo in the paper, that proves that those ballots must have come from somewhere else. Now, there's somebody named Jovan Pulitzer who said, now let's say there was an influx of China ballots. China does not have the tree and lumber population we have because it got deforested. They use bamboo. They use wood pulp in their paper. And they use about 27 different mixes of grasses that we don't have here. If we can find any of those, we'll know that those ballots came from Southeast Asia. This is the basis upon which they have now cost that county millions and millions of taxpayer dollars, because they're going to have to replace the machines that have now been no longer able to be counted upon because these crazy people have messed them up. What the hell?
The Lovable Liberal continues now on iHub Radio. Here's Anita Rufus.
So listen, if your vote doesn't count, and if every eligible voter is not able to vote because blocks are put in the way of them being able to exercise their right to vote, that's a bigger problem than whether or not there were a few anomalies and not enough in any of the contested states, which, by the way, did already certify their results, and they were reported through the Electoral College. But if the fact is that those states that are being contested had no amount of fraud that would overturn the election, what the hell are we wasting our time and money for? I was talking about this audit in Arizona. It has drawn criticism from a number of the local Republican officials in that state. Because even if they found some anomalies, which they have not yet, but even if they did, it wouldn't affect the actual results of the election. It might make people more doubtful, maybe more supportive of stricter voting regulations, but they haven't found that yet. The Office of the Secretary of State of Arizona, Katie Hobbs, she released a report detailing what she described as serious problems with that audit. She's a Republican. There was a software update that they did this past week that created so many errors and problems during the first shift that they were going to roll back to the old software during the next shift. If they're not using the same software and they're not looking at ballots with the same critical eye, how do they know that the results are going to make any sense at all? And then copies of the voting system information were sent to a lab in Montana. The Secretary of State said there were no specifications on what security measures were in place, what the lab in Montana is going to do with it. Plus, observers who were watching this audit said they saw at least three people who were not residents of the county going through thousands of military and overseas ballots that had come in. Well, they had been told earlier that only Maricopa County residents would be allowed to handle any ballots. These people who put together this report, coming from the Secretary of State's office, also accused some of these workers supposedly auditing the election of carrying black pens on the floor while the audit was going on. Now, that's not allowed because a black pen can be used to alter a ballot. How badly do these people want to say that Trump won that election? Now, in Michigan, the top election official and the company whose voting equipment has been supposedly subject to all these claims of fraud, this Dominion voting systems, the top election official in Michigan and that company are cautioning local governments in Michigan that outside audits of the election, like the one going on in Arizona, would be illegal and would void the security warranties on those machines. Again, if they do anything to tamper with those machines, the company cannot certify that those machines will operate the way they are supposed to, and wherever those machines end up being compromised, they're going to have to be replaced at the cost of millions of dollars to taxpayers. In Wisconsin, there's very little evidence of any kind of fraud, but the Republican leader in Wisconsin has now hired a retired police officer to look into their 2020 election results. And in Texas, you know that the, if you watch the news at all, you know that Texas has been trying to push through some of the toughest restrictions in the country, in spite of the fact that in Texas, nobody is doubting that their election was done fairly. The Texas voting restrictions would stop drive-through voting, which has meant that a lot of people who don't have childcare or who are working two jobs could at least drive up and drop off their ballot. No more. No mobile voting booths. Like being able to, we can do that here. You can go to the mall during the early voting period and you can vote in a mobile booth that they set up. Not going to be allowed in Texas. In-person early voting will only be for 9 hours. They're expanding what partisan poll watchers can do. Now, I don't know if you've ever encountered this, but when you go to the polls on voting day, you know there are people sitting there who check you in and give you a ballot, and then they take the ballot and they give you the receipt and they put the little sticker that says, I voted, on your shirt. But there are other people in the polling place who get to watch what's going on because they are partisan poll watchers sent there by the Republican Party and the Democratic Party to just make sure that the way things are being run in that polling place is the way they're supposed to be working. They are not allowed to go in with you to watch how you vote. They're not allowed to ask you how you voted or how you're going to vote before you go in to vote. They cannot harass you, and they cannot campaign for candidates while you're in line waiting to go in and vote. Well, the Texas law is going to expand what those people can do. There will be more ID requirements if you want an absentee ballot, because they had such huge turnout as a result of absentee ballots because of the COVID virus. And I ask you, just think about this for a minute. Based on however it is you vote, would you be willing to give your Social Security number as an identification on a mail-in request for a ballot and then on the ballot itself? Would you give your Social Security number? Because I got to tell you, I wouldn't. Plus, in the Texas voting requirements, they're saying a judge could void the election results if the number of ballots they believe were illegally cast would be enough to change the outcome. No definition of who gets to decide what illegal means and who gets to decide whether a ballot was illegal. The Democrats slowed this down, but I don't know how long they'll be able to slow it down. And it is definitely targeting minority and Democratic voters because they're going after changes in the most populous counties. This is Anita Rufus, the lovable liberal, and you're listening to iHub Radio.